Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Caney Rice Harvest Festival. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe starts at 3, not 5 after 5, but we're going to give you a family four-pack. Two adults, two kids, two carnival passes to the Caney Rice Harvest Festival. It's going to be so much fun. The weather's going to be good Saturday and Sunday. They got great, great entertainment lineup lined up on both days. Some great country music coming up. They got a parade on Saturday morning. Who doesn't love a good parade? They got a rice cooking contest. That's a lot of fun. I'm jealous they didn't invite me to judge that bad boy. A car show. A little car show at the Caney Rice Harvest Festival. I'm looking at pictures of last year, too. These things are awesome. Some of these old cars here, these are fantastic. They got Boots and Brew, too. We're broadcasting live from the Caney Crossing Ice House. They're going to be wide open Saturday and Sunday. This is the sports zone, in fact, at the Caney Rice Harvest Festival. They got a lot of good football coming up Saturday, a lot of good football on Sunday. So in the middle of checking out all of this great music, carnival rides, this whole thing, you can stop in here, watch your football. So a family four-pack, two adults, two kids, two carnival passes, caller number 3. 713-780-3776. Caller 3, 713-780-3776. Family four-pack to the Caney Rice Harvest Festival is yours. Two kids, two adults, two carnival passes. CaneyRiceHarvestFestival.com for more information. Or if you're unfortunate, don't win the family four-pack. 713-780-ESPN. On the text line, Tony needs to stop with the Botox, by the way. Freak. I haven't noticed that.
I haven't noticed that either, but I probably won't be able to avoid seeing it now.
My wife watches a lot of Bravo.
Okay.
So I think I'm pretty familiar with Botox. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think that it makes you look better.
No.
Like, they still like the duck lips and stuff, like Alex Rodriguez. Like,
yeah.
I think it's a bad – it looks so fake.
Yeah, but then, like, and then the ones where, like when you move, like, your eyebrows, your whole face has to move.
Yeah.
Or
like,
to
or
do
you,
it.
Or, you, like, you smile and, like, nothing moves.
Yeah, that's
like,
strange.
Yeah, I'm not a Botox fan.
Hard pass.
I'm anti-Botox. This junkie on the text line says that he, Zach Bond, took a visit there during the pre-draft process to Denver.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a completely different regime.
Yeah.
Like, I think what happened here is I think Sean Payton, who was the coach at the time when Zach Bond got drafted by the Saints, mm-hmm. I think was probably, because they have production meetings, I bet you that Sean Payton, as he was talking to Nance and as he talked to Romo, it was like, we had him back when he was drafted, and I don't think Tony Romo put two and two together.
I think that's very fair.
I think that's what happened.
That's a very good guess.
That's my theory anyways, and I'm sticking to it. Like, who cares if he went there in a pre-draft workout when Sean Payton wasn't there? You know what I mean?
Well, even if he was, like, okay, everyone goes on a pre-draft workout. You go on how many of those things? At least four or five? Most likely, if you're an average player, you can't. What are you going to say about every single player in the NFL? Like, you can't use. It's not. That's not the reasoning.
Yeah, I think he got it crossed up. There is what happened. He got Fromber, Cesar Salazar crossed up. They're big rivals. This texter talking about Brown Deer High School. Mm. He says the Brown Deer High School. They're big rivals with Whitetail Polytechnical. That's a pretty good line there. Eric DeBuyer says that's the number one rule in data journalism. Come in with an agenda and move the goalpost to fit your narrative. That's a good point. Another junkie on the text line. Bregman got $40 million for a .273 average, 16 homers, 62 RBIs. He stinks. Mm. I mean, I see your point. He did have an .821 OPS and a .128 OPS plus. Plays good defense, had good leadership. That said, the full body of work this year is not worth $40 million.
No, I think the projected market I saw was people were saying 25.
Ooh.
In the offseason.
He wouldn't be happy with that.
No. Well, I mean, that's what happens. Like, when you get good offers, but you think you want more, no one on, like, in the last couple years of free agency is coming out on a good side of this.
Is it a lock that he opts out?
No.
Because, I mean, he's still got $40 million for the next two. I know a lot of that's deferred, but if he's, I mean, if they're honest with the with himself, let's say he gets 100 for four, which is the 25 AAV, and a lot of times those projections are low, but let's just go with it. Let's say he gets $25 million a year, 100 for four. Mm-hmm. Why would you want 100 for four as opposed to 80 for two?
Especially because you know you're going to get a contract on the other side
yeah.
of it too.
He'll make more money if he makes 100 for four. He'll make more money doing 80 for two and then becoming a free agent after 2 years.
Yeah, and Boris will know if that's what his market is.
Yeah, maybe he won't opt out. Maybe we're putting the cart ahead of the horse there a little bit. Because if he makes $25 million a year, I don't want to opt out. If it's me, I'll take the $40
million, mm-hmm.
even if part of that's deferred.
Yeah, definitely take the $40
million. Now, we are, like, you know, probably discrediting the real-time value of the dollar, you know, if you want to get economical.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, I mean, Bregman didn't do himself favors in terms of getting that contract, being able to opt out and do it. Like, that's what happened with Cody Bellinger. These guys who have signed these short-term deals, like, they haven't really been able to opt out of them and then make a bunch more money.
Yeah.
It didn't really happen with Correa. Opted out, and he got a good contract.
See, he got offered a couple of contracts.
But
that were massive.
He couldn't pass the physical. Yeah.
He just couldn't pass the physical on the other end. So Bill Belichick, there's rumors that he's been discussing buyout options with North Carolina administration. This is if you believe it. There was also the Pablo Torre at the beginning of the year where he's like, yeah, he's not going to sign. He's not going to coach one game at North Carolina. Yet, you know, here we are, coaching games at North Carolina. So if we buy that, how much validity do you give that report?
I buy it a lot. To me, there's too much smoke here happening. And I know that Bill Belichick and North Carolina put out a joint statement yesterday. But we see teams say they support their managers or their coaches all the time when reports are coming out that someone's getting fired or buyouts are being happening, specifically in the college game. I feel like when a school has to come out and say we support our coach, that feels like the nail in the coffin, the final one.
Yeah.
So I buy it. There's too much coming out with parents talking about now about the culture and how things are going there. The report about the player that we mentioned earlier who supposedly is hurt and Bill Belichick basically turned off his keys to the facility. The Patriots stuff that's happening where scouts can't come in. There's reports that they can't share Drake May highlights on social media. And then magically, as soon as that report is out, they start showing them. There's too much going on with this Belichick stuff to this thing. I don't think he's the coach next year.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. I don't think it's going to be like a mid-season thing. I don't think that he's going to like be bought out during the year.
Yeah.
But I'm getting closer and closer to the opinion that he will not be coaching in North Carolina next year.
Yeah, and I don't think this is not going to end up being a situation like you had with Auburn right now, right, with Bruce Pearl's son taking over the program.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Steve, I know, is there, Steve Belichick. It was there to be the coach in waiting. That's all getting thrown out in the trash. They're going in a different direction. They're going to have to tear this thing down again and find a new coach.
It was very weird to me, too, that they went from Mac Brown to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a lateral move. I know one coach in the NFL forever, one coach college forever. But, like, part of the season's like, you know, for moving on from Mac, oh, we think he's too old. But then you hire Belichick. Like, if you were going to hire Belichick, you would think that it was coming off the heels of, like, a young coach who, like, you know, wasn't mature or something mm-hmm. like that. You wouldn't think that North Carolina would go from one old coach to another old coach.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, honestly, it would have just made more sense if you just hired Steve Belichick and made Bill the DC. And, like, that was the plan, to go to a new young head coach instead of going with another old guy. Because now you have to go young. It's going to be a way different market this year. Last year, you were one of two openings in the Power 5 or in the Power 4. Now we've already got, what, five openings? North Carolina feels like six, and it feels like there's going to be some big jobs that are going to open.
I think it's a good job, though.
I think it is a good job, too.
Like, I think they can be fine, but
I mean, like,
this was a disaster.
No, I mean, like, think back to his first game. Like, who's there? You've got Michael Jordan, Julius Peppers. You've got, like, big-time athletes across all these different sports that are there to support Bill Belichick. Like, if anything, that's a sign that it can be a very good job.
Yeah,
that you can get money funneled into your program.
Yeah, it's just so crazy that Bill Belichick has been a college football failure. It's Bill Belichick.
I know, but
it's Bill.
The way things went in New England at the end, I don't think we should be too surprised.
I mean, Nick Saban was throwing strays at Bill Belichick about Mac Jones.
Yeah,
he was like, "Oh, he got bad coaching in New England."
Yeah,
and like Belichick's his boy.
Yeah, I mean, like they're taking Cole Strange in the first round, who's getting DFA'd this year.
Yeah.
They're taking N'Keal Harry, or whatever his name was, at the end of the first round.
It's still his name.
I thought there might have been something else after
I think
Harry.
It is N'Keal Harry.
The draft process was bad and flawed, and I mean, they didn't bring in real talent for years. That's why they're in the position they are now. So I'm not too surprised that it's gone poorly. I didn't think it was going to be maybe this bad, but it's very bad.
That Tyquan Thornton's been he's been pretty good in Kansas City. Like it's I'm not trying to like nitpick. It's just it's weird how Tyquan Thornton, who like got no love in New England, mm-hmm. all of a sudden pops up in Kansas City and he's catching every deep ball.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe they had a bad usage of him, too.
I mean, even, like, to Mac Jones, like, look what he's doing so far with San Francisco.
Yeah.
He put up better tape last year in Jacksonville than he did in New England after his rookie year. Like, the rookie year was good, but then it was a mess. I mean, this is the guy who thought that replacing Tom Brady with Cam Newton was a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The fall off is real. And I think the only time we'll see Bill going forward is if McAfee brings him back.
I would. I'd bring him back. Like, that's part of the buyout rumors that he's, like...
He wants a media job.
Is that he would do it if he was offered an NFL or a media job right now. Which now is not the season. Like, it's not hiring season.
Yeah, you're not bringing him in right now. Like,
no.
I mean, while I haven't enjoyed Mike McCarthy's appearances on the Pat McAfee show.
Did they have McCarthy on there? That's a boring one.
He's their Belichick replacement.
I like Arians.
Yeah, I like Arians. Arians is great.
Arians is good. Yeah, why would you bring in McCarthy?
I know. Like, so you're going to bring in, like, you're going to bring in Bill, like, mid-season? I mean, I guess you could.
Yeah, he could, but you're not really replacing him out or anything.
But how much is, though, okay, but how much of that is, like, does this tarnish the media side of it?
I don't think that much. Because
like,
still...
we see coaches who are bad that get good jobs. I mean, like, I have to listen to Jason Garrett every Saturday.
Yeah.
Try to sound intelligent when I know what he is. But I think it tarnishes it a little bit, but not to the point where, like, it would turn listeners away or anything
like
that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, you're not looking at those media guys as like, hey, you know, that he was a good coach last year.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of them aren't good coaches because they get fired and then get into media. Keith says, which flame out is worse, Bill at North Carolina or Urban at Jacksonville? This one's been pretty bad. I would probably say Urban at Jacksonville just because, like, Urban had NFL players somewhat, whereas, like, Belichick completely turned over a roster. Like, I think it's harder. And, like, I don't know if they spent that much money on it either.
Yeah, I think Urban's worse. I mean, wasn't the grinding photo while he was with Jacksonville?
That was apparently, like, he didn't go on a team flight.
Yeah.
And, like, went somewhere else. And, like, while he was there, he did that.
His not wife was grinding up on him at
that
a bar.
Said, at Bill, his bar. Belichick has Jordan.
Yeah, but at least they're together.
Well, for nefarious reasons.
Yeah, for now.
All right, Willibit's coming up next. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be very, very good. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live, Caney Crossing Ice House, as we get you ready for Saturday and Sunday, the Caney Rice Harvest Festival. You'll want to be here. It's going to be a great time. Weather's going to be great. Music's going to be great. The cold beer inside of Caney Crossing Ice House is going to be great, too. Willibit's with Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 when we come back. Oh, the greatness of Two Creeks. You're looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress. I have the best weekend idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. Open green spaces, wildlife, beautiful majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You're there in an hour and a half. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92-acre property, kayak, play some pickleball, hang out by the pool with a drink. They got glamping for you. They got the cabins. They have a beautiful treehouse. We stayed in the treehouse when we went there. Branham family loved it. You have an RV? They got the perfect RV hookup spots for you as well. Perfect stay for anybody. If you book now, you're going to save 20% off. That goes on all throughout October, so take advantage of the savings. 20% off when you book your stay at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. The beauty of Two Creeks, too, is you go out there, it's like you're hanging out with family. They got things that they're doing each and every weekend. Like tomorrow, for instance, a little Frozen Friday, kicking off their fall festival. Bonfire and s'mores tomorrow. Then on Saturday, how about this stuff for the kiddos? They got a kids' craft. They got kids' activity. Play a little bingo. They got some live music there, too, with Austin Tellies. And then college football at Swampers, so you don't miss a snap of your college football. So book your stay now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Giant buzzkill. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, it was just buzzkill.
Yeah, it'd be better. And the way that they that Michael said giant, too, kind of bothers me.
Why?
It's like giant. He's putting, like, ruthless aggression into giant.
He's trying to make buzzkill. Sure he gets the point across.
If he went, like, giant buzzkill, I don't think I would take exception to it. But okay. Giant buzzkill. Like I've been a buzzkill to him. It didn't feel great. So, Wheel of Bits today. I finished three shows, documentaries, over the last week or so. First one, Black Rabbit, Jason Bateman. Who's the other dude that's in that? It's like a big name. I'm terrible with actor names. But big name. I've been telling you about Black Rabbit.
You have.
Finally finished it up. Black Rabbit's very good. Highly recommend. It's on Netflix.
Jude Law?
Yeah, Jude Law. The balding European guy. Very good show. I highly recommend Black Rabbit. I'm not going to get any spoilers because I'm anti-spoiler. I don't like to put any paint on the canvas. I think it's messed up. I think it's mean. I think it's selfish. But I'll just give you a little rating on Black Rabbit.
Okay.
I'm going to give Black Rabbit
An 8-4
for Black Rabbit. It's the best thing that Jason Bateman, not Batman, has done since Ozarks.
Okay.
Is it Ozarks or Ozark?
Ozark?
I can't remember now. Yeah, Ozark was very good.
It is very good.
Black Rabbit, very good. 8-4.
Okay.
8-4. Check it out. Tell me what you think. My brother-in-law put us on this one. It's called Jury Duty on Amazon. And I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. But what they do is they find a guy who has no idea what is going on other than he's going to be in a jury duty, and they tell him that he's going to be part of, like, they're doing, like, a massive, like, mock, like a massive documentary about, like, the jury duty process, and they're going to have cameras there, and they're going to interview you, and you're going to do, like, you know, interviews, and you're going to talk about the court case, and they're doing, like, a behind-the-scenes look of what it's like to be in a jury.
Uh-huh.
It's on Amazon. But what they don't tell them is that everybody there is an actor or actress.
Uh-huh.
So the other members of the jury, actors, actresses, both lawyers are actors, actresses. Even the defendant is an act. Like they're all act. Like the judge, actor.
Yeah.
Like no, everyone in there is an actor with the exception of one lone jury member. And then they go through like the whole thing. They like do some like radical stuff to like really like throw them off, like confuse them, make them like whatever. Finished it. It's not bad.
Is it
not
funny?
Bad. Like it's probably like I'll give it like a 6-7.
Okay.
Like it's not fantastic television. It's like one of those shows that you watch like as you're going to sleep. You don't want to have to think. Like I don't watch Black Rabbit if I'm really tired. Like I don't watch like those big time dramas if I'm really tired. I like to fall asleep with like a sitcom, something funny, something that's easy watching where I don't have to think.
Yep.
Like it's more of that, but it's actually not bad.
Did you watch like the original version of this?
No, this derives from something else.
It was called the Joe Schmo Show.
I've heard of the Joe Schmo Show, and I remember the end where he's like, "What is going on?"
Yeah, it was Spike.
But I didn't watch it.
It was Spike TV, 2003, 2004. It was like same.
Wasn't like a Big Brother thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Like they made a reality TV.
Yeah, it was reality TV, but he was the only person that wasn't an actor or an actress.
Yeah,
in it. Yeah,
yeah. I never watched Joe Schmo. I never watched it, but it was. I mean, it was not bad. Like it has its moments.
Yeah,
where it's like, okay, like and it's not hard watching. Like it's not a drama that you're watching here. But that one was okay. And then the other one that I finished up was another one on Amazon. Actually, it's called Cocaine Quarterback.
Okay,
have you heard of this?
No.
So this guy who was a volleyball player actually at USC is the guy who turns into a drug kingpin. Why it's called Cocaine Quarterback, I'm not really sure. But he did. He actually walked onto the USC football team. Like, he was a guy, he was doing steroids, he was, like, a great athlete. So, like, hey, you're going to come play football. So he walked on to the USC football team when they had, like, Lindell White. They actually had Lindell White, like, doing, like, stuff. Like, he was interviewed for this. Lindell
really?
White. Yeah. Yeah, so he was at USC during that era. Pete Carroll,
okay.
Reggie Bush, Lindell White, Matt Leiner. Like, he was there during the peak of USC football. I think he was only there for 1 year, though. And he was a walk-on, never played. He played volleyball and then walked on to the football team. So, in a way, to, I mean, he was like, I don't know how he really, like, found his way in this, but he turned out to be working with the Mexican cartels.
Okay.
And he was actually the guy that figured out how to like blend like hard cocaine with Everclear and liquefy it to make it into wine bottles.
Yeah.
And then he was shipping it to Australia, and then they were selling it in Australia. And he was making tons of money, but he was having trouble like washing the money and like making it clean. And he got in trouble with the cartel, owed him $4 million, but ended up paying him back. It's actually really good. It's actually really good.
What is it on?
It's on Amazon. It's called Cocaine Quarterback. This one's pretty good. Probably like a 7.2.
This is the first now I can ask someone I work with this question.
Yeah.
What do you think of the challenge this season?
So I haven't watched the most recent episode.
Okay.
So, but I've liked it.
It's fine.
No, I've liked it. What was the premise this year? Like New Guns or whatever?
Yeah,
what
like Vets versus New Guns or whatever.
Vets versus New Threats?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed this season. I am disappointed with the size of one challenge legend.
CT?
Well, I didn't want to spoil it, Joe.
Well, I mean, you see the trailers and he's fat.
Yeah, I wonder if they asked him to do it late in the process. Because, like, whenever there was an episode, I don't want to say when, but there was an episode where, like, they kind of alluded to the fact that he didn't have a chance to get in shape.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they either asked him later, or maybe he had, like, an injury or something.
Yeah, because he looks hefty.
He can't climb the little, like, ladder.
I know. It's been a tough look for him.
He's like the greatest challenger of all time.
Yeah.
He's like they're acting like he's Anissa.
Yeah.
That wasn't very nice of me, but it is true. Yeah, I recommend all of those though. Texture Giant Buzzkill is pretty accurate. You've been known to kill a show vibes a few times, LOL. That's not true. I'm a great time. A great show that I've been watching lately is Burn Notice. Oh. Burn Notice is a 10 out of 10.
I love Burn Notice.
I've never checked it out.
It's very good. Very, very good.
4280. Yeah, that was a funny line in that, but I'm not going to read it. Keith said it sounds like the Joe Schmo show. The Golden Girls is the best show to fall asleep to. My wife will put that on every now and then, actually. Kristen Wiig was in Joe Schmo. Is that true? Did you watch that?
I don't remember that. It was a long time ago.
I guess no spoilers doesn't apply to true stories. Yeah, I did kind of notice I was doing that with Cocaine Quarterback.
Yeah, I mean.
But it goes into detail. Like, I had to set up the screenplay.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, how do you, like, if everyone knows the end result.
I didn't give you the end result.
The only time, the one documentary I was like, I did not want to spoil for people was, what is it called? The one that's about the guy who killed someone in Galveston.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. The guy that was like HBO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know his face, but I don't know his name.
Any
Durst?
Yes, Durst, yeah.
Something Durst. It wasn't Fred Durst. That was Limp Bizkit.
Robert
Durst?
Yeah, I think it's Robert.
I never watched that one.
It's good. The ending's great.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. How do y'all watch sports and all these shows? I watch these shows at night when there's not sports on. And since the Astros haven't been playing, there's been a lot of nights open.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, you, yeah.
I've been locked in.
Yeah, you've been locked in with the Cubs. I don't have to worry about that. I keep track of baseball on my phone, whether I'm watching it or following along.
I stay up late, too. I stay up way too late.
How late?
I think I was in bed at like 2 o'clock last
night.
Oh
my goodness! I'm usually in bed by midnight.
Yeah,
or asleep by midnight.
I'm still up late.
All right, rocket burning questions. Joe and Age take you the rest of the way. What are the rocket burning questions as we get ready for the start of the NBA season? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe inside of Katy Crossing Ice House as we get you set for Katy Rice Harvest Festival coming up this weekend. Jeremy and Joe and Age on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Katy Rice Harvest Festival, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just Joe and AJ hanging out with you for the final 30 minutes of the show. Jeremy at Skedaddle. We're hanging out here at the Katy Crossing Ice House, getting you ready for the Katy Rice and Harvest Festival coming up this weekend. Really going to be a cool event. Music, concerts, all going on all weekend. They'll have the rice tasting contest going on this weekend. Lots of fun stuff. Really cool area to be in. And right now we're here inside what's going to be the sports zone. So if you're coming out with your family and you're like, hey, you know what? I want to get away for a little bit, AJ. You come over here, you watch UT Oklahoma. You watch the Red River here. inside of Katie Crossing Ice House. AJ, we're going to get to our these Rockets burning questions that the Athletic put out. And we'll get through a couple of our own questions we have about the Houston Rockets this year. We'll start with the first one here. It's more of an in-depth basketball question, I would guess, but you'll be out there, AJ, covering the Rockets for us all year long.
Right.
It's can the Rockets figure out spacing in half-court situations? I think it's an interesting question about, you know, like, I think can is probably not the word I would use personally. I think it's going to be how long. How long does it take the Rockets to figure this out? Because I think with Kevin Durant and Alpi and the point guard situation, like, you're going to be able to make it work. But the point guard situation is really the key of it. It's like, what is it going to look like in a game that's late if Reed Sheppard is in at point guard and you're playing the Thunder and they're pressing him at half court? Like, what's it like him getting across half court even to then establish the offense? So I think I'm not too concerned about, like, what the half court situations are going to look like.
Right.
I'm more concerned about getting across half court this season.
Yeah, same. I mean, honestly, in that situation, like, for example, against OKC, you definitely don't want it to be Reed handling the ball, like, bringing it up. But, I mean, Kevin Durant, he's shown that he can be a playmaker at times, too, even Amen as well. So it's going to be interesting seeing a dichotomy of that in that situation. But, I mean, yeah, but I think they'll be fine, though, honestly. Udoka's going to be able to, you know, make sure that they're able to move it around in the right way and then also draw up some good plays, too, as well, to, you know, create spacing as well. I mean, Kevin Durant being on the floor alone, he creates that threat, too, to make it easier for example, like a Reed Sheppard on the court as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the half court, like, I think some of the stuff we've seen already, a little bit in preseason, not that it, like, really matters.
Right.
But more the stuff that we saw last year, and I think the growth of Alpi that, you know, happened overseas. And, like, while, like, I don't really care too much, like, it does matter. Like, it's like you have, like, you know, Joe Schmoes out there, you know, guys who are out of the NBA having great performances in that Euro League that Alpi was playing in the summer. So, like, I don't really care how it's going over there. But I think in the half court situation, I think Alpi is going to be a much bigger factor than I think people are kind of thinking about. You know, I think even with Fred, I just think of, like, Alpi in the post having the ball and being able to pass it the way that he can to Durant or Jabari or Reed, whoever, Amen cutting to the basket. I think the offense is going to go through Alpi a lot this year. So I'm not really worried about their half-court offense. Like, I think if anything, the only thing I'm, like, worried about right now is what Jeremy and I were talking about earlier. I'm curious your thoughts on that, AJ, is the defensive stuff. Like, how much of a step back do they take defensively this year? You know, like, when Reed or another point guard are out there with Kevin Durant and the core group of guys on the floor.
Right, yeah, I think Reed defensively, that's going to be the biggest question mark. I mean, he's going to take up the challenge. I mean, he's going to have minutes for sure. But, like, for example, like the backup point guard, if it's Aaron Holiday, I'm not really too concerned about that from a defensive perspective. But, yeah, I mean, that's I guess, the biggest question as well. You like to see that. From a defensive perspective, though, I mean, Udoka, that's what he hangs his hat on. So, I mean, I'm not really too concerned about the Rockets in that department. As long as, you know, they can relatively stay healthy, that's the biggest factor about that. But you have guys like a Tari Eason when he's healthy, of course, too. Amen Thompson, he was a first-team all-defensive player in the second season last year. So I think they'll be fine. Even Kevin Durant, I mean, he has his moments, too. He's older. But I think that they'll be okay and still one of the best teams defensively in the league.
I can't wait for, like, the first time, like what Jerry mentioned earlier, when, like, Kevin Durant just kind of, like, takes a playoff. I can't wait to see Ime's response.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think Ime is going to hold back. And, you know, it'll never be in a position to where you're, like, at the end of a game, we're so unhappy with the way that Kevin Durant has played, we're taking him off the court like he would do with Alpi and Jalen Green. Like, it's never going to get to that extreme.
Right.
But I just can't wait to see it because, like, I don't think he's going to hold back. And that's why I think he's such a well-respected coach because he's going to treat everyone on this roster equally.
Exactly.
Like, from Sheppard to Durant, like, I think the only Durant exception is that if he's not playing well at the end of the game, unless the backup group is in and they're making a huge run, which even KD would understand, I don't think we'll ever see Kevin Durant not on the court.
Nah, for sure not. The only time he shouldn't be on the court is when he's tired or hurt. I mean, literally, that's it.
Yeah, and back-to-backs.
Right, yeah.
I would imagine. Like, my own thought on that is, I got the hiccups at the worst time, AJ. You just got to split him and Tari.
Yeah.
When you have these back-to-backs, like, Tari's off one day, Durant's off the next one. I don't think there'll be anyone else that'll be doing back-to-backs and taking off. I think it's just those two guys.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, that should be it.
This one's not on this doc, but what do you think about the Russell Westbrook stuff that Kevin Durant was saying about, you know, it'd be dope to reunite with him.
It's not happening. And we don't want it to happen either.
I think the Rockets have to be in, like, a really desperate place.
Right.
And I mean, the fact that Russell Westbrook's not signed to me, like, surprises me.
Mm.
I don't know what situation. I'd imagine he's looking for, like, a team that's going to win a championship this year. You know, I don't think teams that are not competitive are even interested in the Russell Westbrook market, to be honest, because they know, like, what it can bring. So you have to be a team that's going to be competitive to want him here. I think the only way Russell Westbrook comes, I think Reed Sheppard has to, A, be playing poorly, and then you probably have to have an injury as well.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make a move before, you know, before the season starts to bring in Russell Westbrook. Because even though, like, it would be dope, like, that to me, when I hear Kevin Durant say that, I hear someone, like, talking kindly about their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Like, I don't know if that's a basketball thing. Like, yeah, it'd be awesome to play with Russ again. But, like, would it be? Because, like, James Harden thought the same thing. Like, I don't really know, like, if I believe that they're going to feel that way. Speaking of Kevin Durant, a second question they have is, when will Durant sign his extension? I can't believe he hasn't signed one yet. I thought the media day, like the media press conference day, was really interesting that Rafael Stone said he wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
And then Kevin Durant was like, no, I intend on signing it.
Yeah. He just opened
it. It's not done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me. Like, it's not done. I'm not worried about it. Even to the point where if they were not to sign Kevin Durant to an extension at all and he were to walk in free agency, I would be disappointed, but it's not the end of the world, I think, in terms of, like, what you draft capital and Jalen Green giving up for KD for a year.
Right, because you still have a majority of your young core as well, too, in a depth. So,
yeah. So, like, I don't think Kevin, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think Kevin Durant's going to sign his extension. Mm-hmm. My guess is it happens before Christmas.
Yeah.
I think there's still a good chance it happens before the first game of the season.
I was just about to say that. In the next 2 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised as well.
Like you're already going to kind of be the story. Like, on October 21st, you're one of two games that are happening that day. You're opening the season in OKC, where Kevin Durant started his career, where they're going to be raising a banner. Like, everyone's going to be talking about OKC. Like, if this was Jerry Jones, okay, they would announce the contract extension on opening day.
Oh, for sure.
And they would make sure nobody's talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the banner they're about to raise. They're only talking about the Houston Rockets. But, yeah, I would be shocked if we get to January 1st, 2026, and Kevin Durant has not signed a contract extension. It's interesting to me, but I cannot imagine there's a world in which he's not locked up long-term.
Yeah, same. I mean, but you make the deal, though, knowing that that's going to happen as well, too. So I guess there's no pressure on it. But, I mean, the longer you wait, though, those questions are going to continue to arise as well, so...
My next one that's off the board here. Do we have to listen to Kay Adams' podcast every week? Because Kevin Durant's on.
I mean, hey, he's trying to shoot a shot.
Okay. yes, dude. But, like, how has it not happened yet?
I don't know.
It's the most, like, obvious public flirting relationship we've ever seen.
It is.
I'm not sure it's not happening. We just don't know it.
Right.
But, like, it's so strange. Like, they're, like, talking about bringing her to Rockets games and all this stuff. I'm like, but, you know, we already knew that Kevin Durant was playing in last night's game. But, like, he said it himself on her podcast. I'm like, am I going to have to listen to 15 minutes of Kevin Durant and Kay Adams talk about the NFL? And maybe, honestly, it might be good for the show. Because I don't know enough about Kevin Durant's football takes. Like, it might be, like, Bad Take Boulevard watch every week. I mean, maybe he has good takes. He might have better takes than I do, AJ.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a Commanders fan, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he is. He's got to be loving Jaden. I don't blame him. And the last one they have here for the burning questions for the Rockets is, do the Rockets have too many guys? What are your thoughts on that?
Too many guys, like, did I mean just like...
It's like almost like too many dudes on their roster.
No, I mean, I don't think so. That's never a problem. I mean, if anything, that's a good problem to have a lot of depth and things like that. That's what I would describe that as. So I would say no to that.
Yeah, I'd say no, too, because, like, even though, like, on paper... You look at a box score, and it's like, or just the roster, and you're like, how are all these guys going to play? Well, you know, before the season, it was like, well, how are they going to mix in Aaron Holiday with Reed Sheppard with Fred VanVleet? Well, no, because Fred's out for the season, right?
Right.
Like, how are you going to mix in, like, how does Capella fit into the mix with Steven Adams and Şengün? Well, Adams is also not going to play in back-to-backs, so he's going to factor in there. They're also, like, he might not play a ton of minutes early on. Like, I don't think Capella's going to be part of a playoff rotation. He's making like $7.25 million a year. Like, he has a low-level contract. If anything, Capella's like likely be part of a trade at the deadline.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Rockets have too many guys, especially with where they're at with their roster. Like, you have, you know, you have older veterans in, you know, Steven Adams, Clint Capella, which is weird to call him an older veteran, but he is, Kevin Durant. But then you have guys like who have gotten injured. Like, you have, you know, Tari Eason, who's had some a really unfortunate injury luck throughout his career. So that's what I think right now. It's almost like the Astros conversations we have about the rotation before this last season. Like, well, if everyone's back and everyone's healthy, like, how do you get everyone into the rotation? Or the conversation we're having about the infield next year. How do you work out Paredes and Walker and Peña and all these different guys and Correa and make it work? Well, most likely what's going to happen is, like, someone's going to get hurt. And that's kind of how I feel about this team right now, is that they have enough, like, they have so much depth that it's great because they can withstand injury, A, and B, someone's going to get hurt.
Right.
And, like, it's only going to be a good thing that they have all these guys on the roster.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the game. I mean, you want to have the extra insurance, too, because, I mean, if you weren't as deep, though, then you would be kind of cooked, honestly.
Actually, they had one more on here. I didn't scroll down far enough. Okay. It was the double big revelation a real thing with Adams and Şengün? I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go to it a ton. But I think between Şengün and Adams and then Şengün and Capella, I think we're going to see a lot. I mean, I think we're going to see some massive, massive lineups. Even when we were talking about small ball earlier, like, what is small ball for the Rockets? The only small guy on the roster at this point is, like, Aaron Holiday and Reed Shepard.
Reed, that's it. Everyone has, like 7-foot wingspans.
Like Jayshon Tate, like, I guess?
Yeah.
It's like, but he doesn't factor into, like, a small ball roster. I mean, your small roster is still going to be one of the biggest lineups in the NBA this year. I would be disappointed this year if the Rockets, like, aren't, like, in top three in rebounds. They're so huge. This team is massive.
Yeah, they
like,
should
be. Going to dwarf teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why I also said, I mean, about the defensive stuff, too, as well. I mean, there's really no excuse for them to also not be in the top of that from the category standpoint as well, too, statistically.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, no, the Rockets, I think, like, when I saw ESPN's prediction again that, you know, they're going to finish fifth in the Western Conference this year, and they pointed to the Fred VanVleet injury. And I think that's it's fair, because, like, I think to me it's the biggest concern or question mark of the season. It's not even particularly close of just, like, what does the point guard rotation look like for the Houston Rockets this year? I think it's going to be heavy Amen and Reed. And, you know, it's more of if Amen Thompson's your lead point guard, like, what does creating the offense through Amen look like? But then I think it goes back to my point about, well, no, it's just he's part of the guys just getting across half court and getting the ball to Alpie or KD, and they're creating the offense at that point. So, like, while the Fred VanVleet injury is tough, and the concern for me is not about double bigs or how it works. It's more about, okay, there's 10 seconds left to go in the game. You're down by one. Kevin Durant's getting double teamed. Who's taking the shot? Like, is it Alpi? Is it just whoever's open? Like, what is the plan there? That's one of the things I'm most curious about for the Rockets this year, is just, like, who's the other guy? Because in the past, it would have been Fred. Like, even though, like, we all get frustrated with some of the shots that he would take, they're kind of reckless, but they'd go in sometimes. Like, what does that look like for the Rockets? I'm very, very curious about.
Yeah, that's the biggest hesitation and question. Someone else is going to have to step up as a playmaker, but, I mean, I'm intrigued. Also, just to see, I mean, this is kind of different, but, like, how improved Amen Thompson is, at least from the mid-range, something like that. Even if he adds that to his game, I mean, that'll help the Rockets tremendously as well, too.
All right, Jeremy and Joe. See, whenever Jeremy leaves me or is not here, I always slip it on an accident. Maybe we just have to do that permanently. Jeremy and Joe here. We're broadcasting live from inside KD Ice Crossing, home of the Sports Zone for the KD Rice Harvest Festival coming up this weekend. You can still get your tickets and everything like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. So coming out this weekend, we will take our final break here. When we get back, let's do our car wreck of the day.
97.5. You all right?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, car wreck of the day here. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be out at East River 9 all day tomorrow. John and Lance Trudell will be there till noon. The promo team will be hanging out there still from 12 to 3, giving out stuff, T-shirts, koozies, all that fun stuff. And then myself and Sean Mapes, because Jeremy will be off tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. We'll be there hanging out with you at East River 9 tomorrow from 3 to 6. But right now, we are at KD Crossing Ice House, the Sports Zone for the KD Rice Harvest Festival. You can go to KD Rice Harvest Festival.com/tickets to get your tickets right now. Saturday for adults and Sunday, $10. It's from 10 to 10 on Saturday and 12 to 6 on Sunday. Children 12 and under are free for both days. And you can also get unlimited passes for the carnival rides. Saturday, $30. Sunday, $30. Or if you're coming both days, all weekend, unlimited rides both days, $50. Admissions and carnival passes are sold separately. Let's get to our car wreck of the day here. AJ, I'm going to go first, okay? Because I had to do this today. I was made aware of this story yesterday. I saw the headline. I saw the post. I wanted to be friendly to my dear friend, Jeremy Branham. He's my teammate. We're friends. He's not here now. So I had to put the University of Houston on Bad Take Boulevard because a third-party website sent out an email to ticket holders and others claiming that they got the win against Texas Tech. Had to apologize. Again, it was a third party. I appreciate the Houston Athletics Department saying ultimately it was they're responsible for the error. It's not really their fault. So I'm not putting them on the car wreck of the day. I'm putting this third-party operator on car wreck of the day. Get it right.
Don't
embarrass our coup.
That is bad.
That's bad.
You think they did it on purpose?
Not great. No. Unless it's a Texas Tech fan. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to get them here. But I don't even know. No, it's not on purpose. But, you know, it's more, honestly, it's more funny than anything. Like, it's not a big deal. I think even, like, having to put out a statement, like, I don't think they needed to do it. I think they just sort of, like, put, like, a GIF out and be like, or GIF, however you say it. Like, my bad. But, like, no, we appreciate the statement. But the third-party operator or contractor who did this, car wreck of the day. AJ?
For me right now, it's this Giannis and Bucks situation because – he's back. I'm about to play with them. Stuff like that, too. But then Shams reported something about the Knicks and Bucks having rumors in August, stuff like that, too. And then now Giannis saying something, I believe in his team. But now if in 6-7 months I change my mind, that's human, too. It's an inevitable breakup, honestly, at this point to me.
Yeah, and I want to just – I'll just throw – yeah, I mean, Giannis, like, what are we doing, man? October 7th?
Right.
Like what? Like this isn't when you. This isn't when you do this.
Nah.
You do this in July, man. Like unless he's trying to get traded before the start of the season, which I guess could be on the table. But like this is not something you do on October 7th. That you let Shams Charania put out a story in which you're clearly quoted because you're unsure about your roster even after the addition of Miles Turner. Which, duh. But like it's October 7th. Like what are we doing? It's very strange to me.
Makes no sense.
This whole Giannis thing. I mean. Maybe he's trying to play. I think he's trying to be the nice guy and was hoping the Bucks would just trade him. But I think he's going to have to let the claws come out a little bit if he wants this thing to go down. So, all right. That will do it for us. Remember, check out the Katie Rice Harvest Festival coming up this weekend. KatieRiceHarvestFestival.com/tickets to get your tickets today for Saturday and for Sunday. So, for Jeremy, I'm Joe. Thanks to everyone out here in Katie for having us today. Awesome environment. We even got to meet the mayor today. So, that will do it for us. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Me and Sean Mapes live from East River 9. Have a good one. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.